The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So when the people heard what was going on, they asked this question: what is up with them? Are they filled with new wine? Now, I'm not quoting the text from Acts. I'm wondering if you're wondering the same thing about our choir this morning. But indeed, they are not drunk, although I understand that might be part of your character. I hear from rumors throughout the parish, for it is not yet 11:30 in the morning. So what is it that could cause a bunch of people in a downtown congregation to sing what you sang? Perhaps it is the possibility that the Holy Spirit can be at work even in a Lutheran church. Last Sunday, Pastor Pounder and I spoke with you concerning the need for us to work on being more consistent in our worship attendance and finding ways to be more sacrificial in our giving to support God's work through this congregation. And in that process, I shared with you what my wife and I are choosing to do, which is to make adjustments in our vacation plans this summer to cut expenses so that we can make that contribution to the work of God through this congregation. I want to share with you what has happened since last Sunday. On Monday morning, a couple from our congregation came in to see me. And as they sat down in my study, they said, "Pastor, not to get too personal, but can you tell us how much money you're saving by changing your plans? Because we want to match that dollar for dollar." We also heard, as Pastor Pounder sat in on the conversation, a family that was looking at some of the beautiful things they have in their house, particularly their china and some of their silver and some of their crystal. And they said, Pastor, this is what we are going to do. We're going to take some of that and we are going to sell it and we are going to contribute what we get from that sale to God's work through the ministry of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church. A young couple emailed me and said, we have made a lot of cuts in our own budget. There really is nowhere else that we can cut. But this is what we are willing to do. We have skills in communication and marketing. And we are volunteering those skills and those abilities to help this congregation build and grow its ministry. That couple had not even joined the congregation until today. What is it that would cause people to do something like that? It is possible that it is the work of the Holy Spirit that can make that happen. Now, I know that I am stepping onto foreign territory because Lutherans are not well known for their work and their understanding of the Holy Spirit. And there will be some who will say, when you look at the preponderance of work that comes out of Luther and the Reformation, there is not much related to the work of the Holy Spirit. It's all Article 2 related to the work of Jesus through the cross, which is true. But understanding that at the time of the Reformation, the reform was centered on the issue of justification. There was some agreement on Trinity and Spirit. In that time, there was disagreement on justification. So the majority of work was rooted in justification. So it is not that Lutherans don't have an interest or an understanding of the Holy Spirit, but that's not where the reform was needed in the early church. So it is, brothers and sisters, possible that the Holy Spirit can work in a Lutheran congregation. For the past year and a half, I have had the opportunity to work with George Fox University near Portland, Oregon, which is a Quaker university. And they have brought people from all traditions in the country together to talk about spiritual discernment in decision-making in congregations and church bodies. And they brought together representatives of all kinds of traditions. We had people from the Quaker tradition and the Lutheran tradition, Presbyterian, Methodist, Orthodox, Roman, Anglican, Pentecostal was well represented. And it was fascinating for all of those traditions to get together and at one point to talk about where they think that their tradition is weak when it's related to its understanding of the Holy Spirit. My Pentecostal brother, his name was Peter, when he was asked, where is your tradition weak on the work of the Holy Spirit? He said, this is where we have a problem. It is hard to tell sometimes in our tradition the difference between someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit and someone who is simply acting completely out of control. To not be able to make that distinction. Holy Spirit is more than just a feeling inside of us. I had a church secretary. This was her litmus test for when the Holy Spirit was present. If she cried, She was convinced the Holy Spirit was there. Now, you have all heard sermons that have made you cry, but it wasn't because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. In another moment, as we were gathered together, they asked each one of us to talk a bit about our understanding of the Holy Spirit in our tradition, and my Pentecostal colleague surprised me. He started quoting the theologian Jürgen Moltmann, which is a very heavy and weighted theologian. Vicar Carolyn has memorized all of his works, and will be glad to elaborate on all of them for you after the service. And so I looked at my brother, my Pentecostal brother, and I said, you know what? I think the world is coming to an end when I hear a Pentecostal quoting Jürgen Moltmann. And his response was this: well, Tim, I think the world is coming to an end when I hear a Lutheran talking about the Holy Spirit. You see, we are very doctrinal in nature. The rational, intellectual, academic approach. And it isn't simply just an understanding or a knowing either. So how do we get then an understanding of the Holy Spirit? We confess this, that we cannot, as Christians, come to know or experience or see God by our own volition, by our own strength and determination, by our own power, but that God must be revealed to us. And it is the Spirit that calls and gathers and enlightens us. Spirit calls us. Now, many times we can talk about what call means, and there is an inner sense of call, that something is working on your heart and working in your mind to say, I think that God is speaking to me in this way. It's a discernment process that the three of us have gone through as we prepared for or continue to prepare for ordination. But it's not sufficient enough to say, I think it should be so. Because there are a lot of times that I think something should be so that maybe isn't affirmed by others. When I think it should be so that I should be able to walk out of my office during around 12:30 and go to Friendly's and eat ice cream the rest of the afternoon. The Lord laid it upon my heart to do that. So how do we test that inner call? The inner call is tested by an external call, which is part of the role of the church, to say, yes, we believe that that call that you are hearing is the Lord's call. To be an internal and external call that validate each other. And each one of you, brothers and sisters, have been called. Maybe the call came to you from outside at first when it invited you into this gathering. Or maybe the call came from inside first as it brought you to this place for the first time. But it is when all come together that we believe it is the call of God through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also gathers us together. Now, we all have interests, those things that we are interested in doing, whether it's working with our hands or using our minds or being creative or being productive. And we will develop skills based in those areas where we have interests. And those interests and those skills can lead us to any number of vocations in the world. It can lead us into what we choose to do each day as of our lives. But notice the habit that we have, that as we go through our lives, the parameters we set are this: I am okay doing what I am doing as long as it doesn't get in the way of what someone else wants and what else someone else is doing. And so we are living our own individual lives with the only peace guiding us is that we don't get in the way of someone else. But when we talk about being gathered by the Spirit, we are talking about people coming together and functioning as one. That's what the Apostle Paul talks about as the body of Christ. Each person comes together to form the body of Christ. And when they come together as one, the body is strong and vital. Now, part of the problem that we face as a congregation is that we can all be tempted to decide that this Sunday, I don't think I'm going to be part of the body of Christ, that I'm going to go and do something else. And when that happens, the body is weak. It is the regular week in and week out commitment to Sunday morning worship that strengthens the body. We've all done the childlike thing where you sort of put your hands together like this and say, here's the church and here's the steeple and look inside, here's all the people. My wife and I, both being Lutheran pastors, have changed that, and this is the way we do it. Here's the church, and here's the steeple. Oh, look, it's a Lutheran church. There are no people. Which is becoming a reality among many congregations. And could become a reality here. If we do not understand that we are all part of the body of Christ. Spirit calls, the Spirit gathers, and the Spirit enlightens. To be enlightened is to be willing to grasp a new way of looking at oneself and the world. And in order for enlightenment to happen, we need to understand that there are some times that we are wrong. The Holy Spirit gives us this promise of the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. It puts us in the context, a place where we can be wrong and be transformed. But here, I think, is the greatest obstacle that the society puts against people being changed into believers. We have lost our capacity to be wrong. We have lost the capacity to admit that we might actually be wrong, because we don't have the stamina inside of ourselves to live with the fact that we could have made a mistake. Enlightenment, being willing to acknowledge that I might be wrong and that God might be speaking a new word to me. And it is done within a community where that is possible. As the psalmist says, how blessed it is to be rebuked by a friend in the faith. It happens in community. When I am at home by myself and no one else is around, I am convinced that I am right about everything. And usually I am. Those who are laughing, I appreciate that. Those of you who are sitting there seriously, I'm worrying about that. Don't we all do that? But then my wife walks through the door and reminds me right away that I am wrong most of the time. We are corrected when we are in community. The Holy Spirit calls and gathers and enlightens. Notice the common thread through each of those is that it's God's work and it is about community. It's about being in ongoing relationship with our brothers and sisters of the faith. So the work cannot happen if we isolate ourselves from the faith community. What we are about today is to involve two young men into a greater commitment to work in this community. They are already members of the church because that happened when they were baptized. But as they make public affirmation of their faith this day, they are also making a commitment to greater involvement in the life of the church. And these two young men bring wonderful blessings to this congregation. I notice with Matt, when I first met him, that Matt just has a wonderful sense of wonder and exploration and curiosity. And then he finds something and he just explores every side and every angle of it. And so I could be guaranteed that every time I came into confirmation class, you would have explored something about a life form that you had just discovered, the habits of that life form, what that life form does, and you would share it to the rest of the class. Most of the times the girls were going, ooh, we don't need to know that. But just this wonderful fascination and wonder with what you encountered and just sticking to it and engaging it and wondering about it. What a wonderful gift to have that sense of wonder and to explore what you wonder about, even when other people go, ooh. Which is why I chose the text for you that I did, which you will hear read later on, about wondering at the magnificence of the works of God. We want you to be part of this congregation because we love your sense of wonder, and we treasure you. And I immediately, when I'm with Andrew, feel completely inadequate. Andrew has an extraordinary gift for electronics and technology. I had a new cell phone, and it was the Saturday before Easter when your family was here decorating the church. And I was able to get my phone out while you had yours, and you showed me how to do things on my phone that I didn't ever think it could possibly do. I remember right, when you were 8 years old that you networked all of the computers in your house together? Do I remember that right? I don't know how to do that at 43 years old. It's amazing how your mind can wrap itself around all of those possibilities. But what I love even more is that you take those gifts to help other people. That when we have needed someone to help with lighting and sound during our children's programs, or when I have needed help, or when my church secretary has needed help, you have been willing to help. So it's not just about you doing what you love to do. You have the capacity to help others. And that's one of the things that we love about you, Andrew. That's one of the reasons why we want you to be a greater part of this church. Both of you are a blessing to this community. And the Spirit came upon you at your baptism and claimed you as God's child. And now the Spirit has given you even greater inspiration to ask and answer the question, what is God calling you to do now in the life of this community of faith?